And good afternoon, everyone. Doug Duda with you in the ESPN Sports Studios, where momentarily new Nebraska head football coach Mike Riley will be addressing the media and let you have a little insight to the recruiting class of 2015. Nebraska has picked up one additional player today out of linebacker Adrian Talon out of Davie, Florida. Huskers have 20 commits right now and a handful of walk-ons that have sent in their paperwork, eight of them officially right now, including Wyatt Mazur out of Albion, Connor Young of Cozad are also signing and going to Nebraska. We will monitor what's going on in Lincoln and take you to Mike Riley as soon as that comes down. UNK and Hastings College has also released their tons of players, I guess we should say. 39 for UNK and 30 today for Hastings College have been released. We'll talk about that here in just a moment. For Nebraska, they have two players that come from the state of Nebraska, and those are Michael Decker out of Omaha North and Deshaun Neal from Omaha Central. And then there's no heavy load. There's no other state with more than two, a couple from California and Colorado. Seven on offense, 12 on defense, and then the long snapper in Jordan Ober as a specialist are coming into the University of Nebraska. A handful of those players are already on campus and have enrolled here at the beginning of January. So Nebraska, with their class sitting in that 30 to 33 range from most of the national syndicates, as we get ready to take you to the press conference that will be going on for the National Signing Day in Lincoln. While we have that time, we can take a look at what UNK has done. Head football coach Josh Lamberson announced the names of 35 high school seniors and five transfers who will join the Lopers. The group includes 22 players that are coming from the University of Nebraska, from the state of Nebraska, five from Colorado, four from Missouri and Texas. The group breaks down to 10 defensive backs, eight offensive linemen, five wide receivers, four quarterbacks and linebackers, three defensive ends and tight ends, and then one running back, interior defensive lineman, and one receiver, tight end. UNK brought in several teammates from Kearney Catholic, lineman Nick Brungart, Nettis Kamani, and quarterback John Masker, and their former teammate David Squires returning to the Lopers. He was a redshirt in 2013, did not go out last year. The Lopers went to Millard West for defensive backs Jack Barna and Zach Sullivan, running back Thomas Russell, Devin O'Grady, Zach Pierre, all hail from Sierra Canyon High in Chatsworth, California. Tight end A.J. Schultz and defensive back D.J. Curtis were teammates at Francis Howell North in St. Charles, Missouri. As usual, there's a family connection. Offensive lineman Jacob Brown and Josh Stoltenberg have older brothers in Luke Brown and Sam Stoltenberg that are currently on the UNK roster. So that is what's going on with the Lopers. Now let's head on to Lincoln.
Just trying to learn the names of 120 guys that are out there. So I'm excited about that next phase that's coming up. But this is a good class that started with the guys that were committed to Nebraska when we got here. And I've said this before, I was impressed with the work that Bo's staff did.
Talk about that 5-day period in December when you were able to...
He joined the staff, so...
Davis Twins and Avery Anderson, Eric Lee, and those guys, and how important that was to kind of start things off on the right foot.
We had to make an initial plan right on getting the job, right when we could go out, what are we going to do here? And so the first thing that came to mind is there were three of those guys that were not only committed, they were mid-year enrollees. You know, Avery Anderson, Aaron Williams, and Eric Lee. So those were guys that I had to see right off the bat because they only had a few weeks before they were supposed to be on campus. And then as I made my way from Avery and Eric to see Aaron, a good stopover was the Davis Twins. And so I think that was a really good start. And very impressed. I was very impressed with the families, with the kids, and very excited after that week with the guys that I got to meet. And I actually squeezed in Stanley Morgan at the end of that week. So right off the bat, we got to that group of guys, and I felt great about it.
Mike, what was your sales pitch for those guys?
Well, you know, I think that The number one sales pitch to those guys is that they chose Nebraska. And Nebraska, you know, you look at what when you're a player and you're looking at a place to go to school, you're looking at a fit. You're looking at a fit athletically. You know, do my skills match this place I'm going to? But I think kids also, and especially parents who have input, also look at the big picture of going to college and what does this university have to offer. And this is where Nebraska is off the charts. The resources for young men here, academic support, life skills, nutrition, just go down the line and all those things. It's a high, high level. And so they're joining a place that really knows what it's talking about when it's talking about student athletes and what you can accomplish here. So that part of it, that's pretty easy sell.
Was it difficult at all for you just having to sell a place that you didn't? You just got introduced to it basically for a few days.
I was just introduced to Nebraska, and I hadn't been here very long, and I couldn't pretend I knew everything about it because I don't. But I did find out about these things that I was talking about as I went, and as I did it longer and longer, I became more excited about it. And because this stuff is all real, and the more I'm into it, the more, because I really believe in the total development of a young person, not just the football part. We got to do it all. So when I see the resources we can surround our players with here, I think it's the best, and I think that is fun to talk about. And the brand of Nebraska itself, that's the part you don't have to learn much about, right? I mean, those of us that are in it know history, and this place has as good a history as any place in the country. So that combination to me is easy.
Linebacker was obviously a position of emphasis for you guys. Can you kind of go into your approach to recruiting that position and kind of what you feel like you got there?
The other part of the puzzle in recruiting is just what you said. You got to look at the positions that you need. So after the commitment piece, our coaches and all of us put together had to look at the roster and say, where do we need to fit? We have what we think are close, at least the how we put a team together, the numbers we want at each position in the 85 scholarships that are available. How many of each do we want in those spots? And so as we looked at the linebacker situation, that was one that was pretty glaring that we need some numbers there. So we went right after that. But one of the hard parts about that is I don't know that you want to recover it all in the first year. You know, if you want 12 linebackers in your program and there's five, I don't know that you necessarily have to fill it all, but you got to head that way. And so we'll look again now at the end of spring practice again and see what more numbers we need as we go forward.
You utilized social media a lot throughout this entire process. What was the thought process behind utilizing it?
Well, I'm really big into the social media end of it personally. That's big. You don't know me very well, but it is. I've got some great thinkers in our program that help me with it. And so what we with, I think, great ideas, and they're, I think I can call them great because the response that I get, from all these is very, very good, and I think it's also it's good for the players you're recruiting, the families, for information and connection. But it's but it's also good for our fans. I mean, I like the idea that we're fairly transparent. Fans have fun following along. I think we got great response from that. And our guys had fun putting it together. So it was pretty good. And then I guess you could say my part in it is the messaging, you know, and our people, Ryan Gunderson is very much involved in this. And as he walks in the room, you got to answer these questions for me, Gundy. But we've been together long enough that he knows what messages Nebraska football will send out to fans, to our recruits, to the parents, to our team. And so as we get together, we have a message we want to pass along, but we want to have fun with this thing too. And I think that kids in general relate to that. And it's a great way for us, like I said, to get out information and to connect with these people.
Nebraska football coach Mike Riley's press conference here on National Letter of Intent signing day.
A couple of recruits. What was that like?
That was fun. Yeah. No, you know, it's interesting in that deal. I've got now two good friends that are coaching in the league, Paul Christ and Jim Harbaugh. And you know, I've been in all kinds of situations in my life in coaching people that I know and all that. I've coached against my dad up in the Canadian League. So I've seen it all. And what I've really tried to do is enjoy it, but we always want to win, you know. So it is you know, it's going to be part of the scene for a while, and Jim is really competitive. Paul's competitive. All the coaches in this league are. So, you know, I kind of go from that, and I take a step back and just remember what we're doing here. We're talking about our school, our program, our state, and what we've got, and we'll take it up against anybody. But our focus is not the other guy. It's on what we have. And I like doing that. We're not going to be that team that worries about what they do or what they got or really what they say. We're going to focus on who we are and what we do. We got a great place here, and I've got great people that surround this team, and then we got a great department that puts all those resources that I mentioned around this team. That's it. That we can go from there.
Talk about Deshaun Neal, Omaha Central. The defensive end, what did you see in him that really went hard after him?
Well, as we reviewed the commitments, we were really, really impressed with all of them, basically. But specifically the question about Deshaun Neal, it was pretty easy. Yeah, you see this guy, he's a really good player with a ton of potential. I mean, I really like the upside of this guy. And I like the fact that we kept a couple of the guys in this state. You know, we want to – I've mentioned this to you guys before. We really want to know this state real well, and that also this basically this whole radius or heartland deal that we've talked about. I really like that idea with our coaches' involvement, with how we go forward with it. And so with getting Deshaun and Michael Decker locally it was a start to get to meet some coaches, get to go to the high schools, really important for our staff. I really think that, you know, if you're good at home and we're good in this area, then we know now where we need to go to supplement that. These areas of the country we're going to pinpoint as other primary areas to get guys. But we can get a really good foundation from Nebraska and all those surrounding states that send their kids to our camp, coaches come to our clinics, you know, maybe a lot of alums, maybe a lot of fans. You know, I think that it may not fill up our recruiting class, but it would be a nice foundation for any class if we can maintain a number in this area. So, you know, and I think also the better you evaluate it, the more you look. You know, like I really think had we had a little bit longer chance to look at a couple kids that we got a glimpse of, perhaps if this was June, we might have offered that guy. But, you know, when you're coming in late, you're limited in numbers, you've got other needs, then you got to be a little more careful. So there's probably somewhere in there that other guy that you could sign that's going to impact your team. So we're going to make sure we try to do our due diligence in doing that. understanding that we have to go other places. I'm also excited about this place's ability to draw from sea to sea. I really think that's real. Look at it historically, the number of guys, even from California in the last 5 years, and then all the way to Florida or Georgia or New Orleans or Texas. You know, I think we can be that team. I like that idea. You know, we're right in the middle. We can grab from any direction, and it's not that far. So I think you have an idea about a foundation point and then spreading out from there to the right spots where we can use coaches' connections. You got Charlton Warren. He's been recruiting Georgia. He's from Atlanta. He's recruited there a long time. And we've also got him. He's going to recruit Colorado. And there may be four kids in Colorado, but I know we got two of them this year that are good players. So, you know, that is that's kind of how you take that next step and go out there into the world, I think.
How big a resource was Charlton with you guys having to hit the ground running like you did?
Well, I think that Charlton was a big resource. It was I think, great to have him. You know, everything about him and hiring him was confirmed to me of why that is a good thing because of who he is. But also, he was a good connection to a lot of these guys now. And, you know, the first homes I went into, Avery and Eric, defensive backs from Colorado that he had recruited, those folks wanted to know what's going to happen to Coach Warren. And so there was – that's a good sign, right? And then the other part of it is just his general knowledge about where they've been recruiting, who they've been recruiting. And he was the guy that that came up with the name when we were looking maybe for a back. He came up with Divine Ozigbo. And we looked at the film, loved him, and we took off from there. So having him with a little background in that area was very, very good for us. And then the guy I also have to mention who's in our personnel office is Kenny Wilhite. Kenny's great and had great knowledge of this class and had also really good local knowledge. So,
how do you guys find Antonio Reed and what do you like about him? Because he wasn't on a lot of radar.
Well, he was on Charlton's radar, you know. And so, you know, I think that coaches, as they go, you know, you end up with the offer, who you think you're going to get. Maybe you got that. But you also have that guy that's above the line, is a good player, is the right person, and is kind of ready. And that's where that thing all of a sudden surfaced for us.
If there's a characteristic or trait, maybe not all of them, but that excites you about this class, about the players you brought in, is there one common denominator with these guys?
Well, I think in general I would say, you know, in recruiting, linemen are gold, right? And I think this is a good class. This offensive line class adds real well to the class they've had before. And I'm real, real excited about having an offensive line that's really good and has good depth. You know, if you could get 10 guys that are capable of playing in the game, I've never had that before. I'm going to get that sometime in my life where you're going to have 10 guys that you could put in the game and you know they could go win for you. So the development of linemen in a program is huge. And so both offensive and defensive linemen, I think this is good. The other thing, DBs in general, but the other thing that's gold is corners. And so I think that, you know, you've got to be able to play out there, and if you got linemen and corners, we can find those other positions. But I think another trademark of this class is that we've added some linebackers in an area we really needed to.
What was your thought process for hiring Keith Williams as wide receiver?
Keith Williams, you know, as you guys know, I took some time on that one because we were busy recruiting, and the other thing I wanted to really make sure that I covered enough bases here to feel good about it. So I kind of reached into my background of veteran coaches that I've known across the country and talked to them about guys that either worked for them or had worked for them, or And that's, I found out about Keith initially through a guy just like that. He would work for Pat Hill, who did such a great job. And Pat had, if you remember, back in the Carr days, they had also had some great receivers. And this guy had recruited all those guys, Pat told me, and coached them like crazy. And so he was a recruiter, he was a coach. And then I started taking his information and going around the block, and then I interviewed him. So that's, and I did that with a number of people, but I thought as a coach and as a recruiter, and probably most importantly about who this guy is and how he develops young men along with receivers, he was the right guy for us. I think he fits exactly what we want to do in the program with these guys.
Move to a program where the expectations are a little bit higher, the talent standard is probably a little bit higher. How do you deal with that in evaluation? You know, maybe some guys that or a certain level that you might have taken at Oregon State that you might not be able to take here, or is there any difference there? What kind of challenge did that pose with this first class?
I don't think I don't think it makes any difference in the initial evaluation. Because, you know, we, like when we were at Oregon State, we recruited and evaluated whatever star you want to put on it, and then you evaluated, you know, and ranked from there, right? So our understanding of what people call a five-star player is pretty complete. Well, I mean, we either. And what I always said at Oregon State, we didn't get a lot of five stars, but a lot of them came out of our place at the end. You know, they were good players. So it wasn't so much as necessarily about development, but recognizing talent. One of the most important parts of recruiting is evaluation. And so the evaluation to win a conference championship, a national championship, we're going to be evaluating a lot of those same guys. Our opportunity to get them might be a little bit different. And so, you know, but it's still a process. An evaluation is the key. A lot of those guys, not a lot, some of those five-star guys might not be five-star guys. So that's where I'll go back to it. Evaluation is really where you have to start and you have to be right.
What do you look for in a corner? You used to play it. What do you guys look for in corners?
I don't look for me. I'll tell you that right now. You know, a corner, what you look for in a corner is, some of the obvious things are speed. But I also think there's a lot of guys, this is a little misconception, you don't have to be the fastest guy. But you have to have a great ability to transition. So how you handle your body, your feet, is really the key. How fast you can basically go from backwards to transitioning to running and being full speed is a real, real key issue. You do not have to be the fastest guy, but you have to be a good, fluid athlete. We like a guy with ball skills. I know that he doesn't have to have the ball skills necessarily as a receiver, but he's got to have great hand-eye coordination because a lot of times they're in awkward situations and their ability to get one finger on the ball and make a play can be the difference in a game. So they've got to be able to handle their body, have good ball skills, great feet, body control. And probably what trumps everything is they have to understand the position they're playing. You know, the ramifications of a mistake or a not very smart play at corner are very, very costly. It might cost you 5 yards in the defensive line, and it might cost you a game at corner. So, to be a great corner, it's kind of rare. All those abilities put together, and we have actually found them in all different places. And I think one place that we have lately at Oregon State found really savvy, good athletes are a lot of these guys that run the zone read at quarterback in high school. They're the best athlete on the team. They get it. We had two corners both playing in the NFL that were high school quarterbacks. That's why I say corners are gold. Because oftentimes your best corners are not playing corner. They're the quarterback, they're the receiver, the star player on the team, the running back. So you got to look around a little bit to find those guys. It's interesting.
Right now, it's not a corner that you're.
You're listening to Mike Riley's press conference on National Letter of Intent signing day.
The question was, anybody on the roster now that's not a corner that we're considering moving? I shouldn't say that because I haven't watched him enough. I'm watching him work out now. But finding them within your team is also like gold. I had one kid that came to Oregon State from Illinois, a coaching buddy of my dad's in the Canadian League, had retired in Bloomington, Illinois, and called me and said, there's this guy that's kind of overlooked here, and you may want to, he's got good speed, he's a receiver, and I think he's a really good player. You may want to take a look at him. And the very last thing he said, and if he doesn't make it a receiver, he might be a corner. So we liked the kid. We recruited him. He came, and he spent a year redshirting. And at the end of that year, I said, Brandon, what do you think about playing corner? And he was a great kid now. And he said, Coach, just let me keep working on it. I can do this. And I said, but you can't catch. You know, it's going to be a long process here. And so I said, just think about it. Well, he came back and did it. Well, he became an NFL corner. And so they might be there, right? You gotta know your team and know the person. Now they also have to buy in. You just move a guy and he didn't want to do it. It ain't gonna work because they got to go after it. And this guy really took his lumps early, but like obviously developed into a really good player. So those are kind of the fun things that you find. And you find that with the experience of looking at your team and seeing what these guys can do.
Mike, you guys were able to keep 10 of the guys early committed. During a coaching change, how rare is that to keep everybody on board? Because you look at teams like Michigan, Florida, Wisconsin, they didn't have the retaining that you guys had with the recruiting class, but being able to retain the guys that were already here.
The question was, how were we able to retain that group at that number? And I think that one thing for us, frankly, we were a little earlier hired than some of those schools. That maybe 1 week is an advantage, right? Because I had that week to get right on some of those kids, and I think that I'm going to give Nebraska credit again because I think those kids wanted to come to Nebraska, and they just wanted to know if we were the right fit for them. They became the evaluators, right, all of a sudden of how that was going to work. And that was our big job, you know, and of going out and meeting them and telling them and educating them about who we were, what our plans were. And this has been our history of what we've done with young men. And then you let it go from there. The other thing is it was a major priority for us because as we watched the film, and as we know the commitment that this university had made to him, we wanted to follow up on that. We wanted to make that right with those families. Because this is a rough deal for a large number of people, coaching transitions, right? That's why they're always examining the rules that surround this thing. It's a tough deal. There's a couple classes, our old class, this new class of commitments, recruits, plus the teams. Everybody's in uncertainty, disarray. So the thing you have to do immediately as best you can is calm everybody down and say, is this going to be all right? You know, but that's not easy. But that's we made it a real concerted effort to go out and say, we want you to come. And this is why you chose the great place. And this is who we are. This is it. And hope that it meshed. That's what happened.
About Tyshawn, you also had Carlos and Kula Davis, Alex Davis, and then the three offensive linemen, so Michael, Jalen Barnett, and Christian Gaylor. What you say those players are gold. What do you like about each one of those players? What jumps out at you about them?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, I think they're quality players, right? You know, if the first thing that draws you to a recruit is talent, so you look at the, and that's what we did immediately is we looked at the commitments just to see them, And so if we went to, when we actually went to visit them, we had something to talk about, who, you know, that we'd seen them play, you know. And so we were impressed with the talent. We kind of spread it out. As somebody pointed out, too, we got two defensive tackles, two defensive ends, and a pretty good spread on the offensive line. So I just think what I mean about that being gold is, you know, to really be a championship football team, I haven't seen anybody not be good in the lines. You know, that you get defensive line, offensive line, they almost trigger everything else you do. You can run whatever you coverage you want to, but if you've got a great pass rusher over there or a really good defensive front, they control the game. I mean, so that's really, really important to continuing to grow a football team.
Deshaun Neal having a huge upside. What does Alex Davis bring to the table? And do those two guys fill, you think that's a good start to fill your need at defensive end?
I think so. I think both Alex Davis and Deshaun Neal are really good prospects. If they walked in the room right now, you would say, well, they look like the right guy. You know, together, they got great range about them, and they got athletic ability. So their development will be fun. You know, it will take work. Both of them probably need strength, and they need to learn more about how to play. But that's our job to do. But you sure like those kinds of bodies to work with.
A long snapper. I mean, what's the importance of, I guess, that peace of mind of the next 4 years?
Yeah. We sign a long snapper, and we. I won't say this is always the case, but we set aside three scholarships for the three specialists, the kicker, the punter, and the long snapper. Have we always done that? No. But we certainly understand the need and the importance of that position. There's a guy here that's been doing it there's going to be competition, which is good. We have had, well, just 2 years ago, we had a walk-on punter beat out our scholarship punter. This will be, as soon as we start practicing, it's a land of opportunity. You know, you got to win your job. But I think that those positions are so important to you that I've got the best evaluator of specialists of anybody. I mean, his track record on doing this is outstanding. So we just want to make sure we're really good there. That's why we scholarshiped him. And certainly you got to be right, because you're not going to go find another one next year.
You're listening to Nebraska football coach Mike Riley, National Letterman 10 signing day press conference.
When he takes a new job with that first class?
I think the biggest mistake you can make, being brand new and anxious to fill a class, is to rush into judgment about a player, not knowing enough. And there's a tendency to want to do that because you want to, you might have some depth needs, but you're better off with a blank spot than you are with a guy that is not good enough to play. So you got to hold yourself back a little bit and be careful.
Coach, before we know it, the spring game will be here. Have you thought at all about what your expectations might be for that game?
Well, not yet necessarily. I think that as I look at the roster right now, I watch the workouts, and there's about 120 guys working out. You know, because of the strong walk-on program here, we have that kind of number in the program, which lends itself better to a real kind of game. You know, at Oregon State at this time of year, I might have 75 guys. So it was hard to play a game. You know, to have enough depth at every position to say we could make it look like football, you know, with the depth that we might have. So now, in saying that, I don't know what it's going to look like yet. You know, we'll formulate the depth chart. We'll get ready for spring practice. We'll probably make some adjustments as we go through. But as I understand it, there's going to be a couple people watching the game. So I want to make sure that it looks good, you know, and it looks like football in some fashion. And so it'll be a little bit different for me that way.
Did you hit the 88 number, and I guess kind of paired with that, have there been any roster departures since the spring semester?
No, nobody's left. I don't think since the start, no. You know, I think there was a change prior to the semester. But as far as I know right now, that it's status quo that way. And no, we didn't get to 88, nor did we necessarily want to, because it's that same question that was asked of what's the biggest mistake you can make, is if you think you just have to get to a number, you could, and rush into judgment, you could make a bad decision while evaluating in a short period of time. And probably as much as you can make a bad mistake in the talent end of it, you might not know near enough about that guy. So you make a mistake in the character part of it too. So we actually like the idea that we have a little flexibility if somebody shows up in a transfer possibility or whatever that might be through the course of time. So I think I actually like that we've hit right at our 85, and if we kept this 85 right up to fall camp, that would be great with me.
You said you wanted to hire somebody who is in charge of just walk-on. Where are you at on that, and where do you see that position?
The question is about wanting to hire somebody that is really in charge of the Husker walk-on program, and probably with a few other duties with that, maybe the high school coaches liaison, same thing, which would be kind of hand in hand with that deal. Haven't probably done a good enough job necessarily of defining that whole job. I'm sure it's going to be a guy that has that job coming in. Then we're going to say, by the way, can you do this too? But we're still looking for that right guy, you know. And I've got some real interesting names I can't tell you about yet because I don't know where they'll go. But I think it'll be fun. I might have to take some time with it. I'd like to get that guy started right away on the recruiting end or the evaluation end of it, but I'd rather make sure through time that it's the right person for us. So,
Mike, you said you concentrate on what you're doing and not worry about others. Did you ever peek at what Ohio State's doing? I mean, everybody's kind of chasing it right now.
Right. Yeah. You know what? The one thing about paying attention to what we're doing, I'm talking more in terms of what we talk about, right? You know what I mean? It's more about what we have here, what we, quote, sell, you know, what we have. But as far as players, I think you have to look. And I think eventually, after we settle down in this deal a little bit, we'll look at the players that somebody else got, we'll compare, and we'll – all of it will be done to get better so that we can compete for the championship. And that right now is the team you got to beat. So, you know, I think you have to, you absolutely, in part of it, you can be a world of your own talking about what you're doing. But as far as the other part of it, you've got to get the players that can beat those guys.
How good your classes have to be, do you think, in order to, I mean, and not just specifically Ohio State, but to play the kind of football that you want to play here, how good do your classes have to be?
How good do our classes have to be in order to play that kind of championship football? I guess I'd have to just generally say they have to be perceived as top level. And I don't know if you're meaning a rank. I don't know how much stock to put in all that. But I think that we have to know people with the ability of a Jalen Barnett. That, you know, I think we're getting one of the top players in Oklahoma. That's the kind of guy we're going to go after. And in order to win championships, you got to get those kind of guys.
Who excites you in this walk-on class?
Who excites me in this walk-on class? You know, I'm not going to pick one. I've seen the film on all of them, And I think that, you know, it's pretty interesting because, in general, these are good football players. Quite a number of them are that kind of fullback, linebacker type that looks like he has great instincts, tough, playmaker. You know, the linebackers that I've watched look like they make all the plays, you know, and really good-looking football players. Other guys that I've looked at would be the other guys in here are, I think the best way to describe them is I'm not sure exactly what they will play, but they're playmaking athletes, you know, whether running the ball, catching the ball, quarterbacking. And I don't know if they'll be a quarterback. I always hate to discount a guy as a quarterback when he's been successful in high school, and we'd give him a look. But we also think that he might be that guy that is a receiver or a safety that looks like an athlete that could fairly easily move, because a lot of those guys have that sports savvy that kind of get it. A lot of those guys play both positions already, so.
Guys, Alston and Snyder, that you were recruiting earlier at Oregon State. What do you like about those guys and what can they offer to your receiving corps?
LeVan Alston was a guy that we've been recruiting for a long time. He, you know, I kind of divide the receiving recruiting into two areas. One of them is that bigger body, great target, like to throw that intermediate curl type stuff or back shoulder fades, or that guy that's going to be a hard physical matchup, you know, so a 6'3 guy against a 5'10 guy, that kind of receiver. And then the other kind of guy that we've always liked to have in our offense is just speed. You know, I hate to go backwards, but you guys know who Brandon Cooks is and Marcus Wheaton, both of them playing. Marcus plays for Pittsburgh and Brandon for New Orleans. They played together on our team. And so the ability to run the post, run the screens, run the reverse, run the fly sweep, you know, you got weapons. And it really, that one, size is, we've had James Rogers that's, you know, 5'7". And caught 91 balls and gained 600 yards running the fly sweep. So, you know, that is, we want that kind of guy. And that, I think LeVan, when we looked at him initially, we always look for, well, there's our sweep guy, you know. So that's what we like. Matt Snyder is a terrific big athlete. Some people recruited him as a defensive end. We were, I don't know if we'll be as much here, tight end oriented offense, multiple tight ends, 1-2-3 sometimes. But athletically, he's a great fit. He can be a receiver. He can be a great blocker on the edge. He's exactly what we're looking for to play that position. And that is a hard position to find. That guy is a hybrid player. He's a guy that has to run down athletically, beat a safety, make a play, be a great target. And then he's got to be that guy that can hold the edge on against the defensive end when you're running the outside zone play. So he's a special breed, and that's what we like. Matt, when I had the chance during the bye week to go out and see one game on a weekend while we had the bye, I went to see Matt Snyder. So he was a high priority for a long time.
Good.
All right. Great to see all of you. Thank you. Sorry about my cough. That's what we like, Matt. When I had the chance.
And there it is, Nebraska new head football coach Mike Riley and his signing day press conference. Went pretty long, answered a lot of questions, obviously. Nebraska has 20 in this class, 8 current walk-ons listed from the University of Nebraska. As we said, the walk-ons include Connor Young of Cozad, Wyatt Mazur of Boone Central, Newman Grove up in Albion, Brody Cleveland from Ogallala, Jared Brueggemann from Gretna on that list as well. Coach Riley covering a variety of topics from the guys that were already on board, like the Davis twins, when Bo Pelini and his staff were let go. 11 of those guys that had committed end up staying with Nebraska, pretty high number. He credits Charlton Warren, the only holdover from the Pelini staff, with being instrumental in keeping some of those guys, getting new guys. He loves his linemen in this class, still trying to work on some linebackers. Also talked about one of the interesting questions posed was, did you recruit any differently now that you're at Nebraska than what you did at Oregon State? And, of course, the coach says, not really. We're trying to find the best athletes out there and have them here. Asked about, is there different areas of the country that you will be recruiting? Nebraska has had their base in a variety of different places. Will that change with his Pac-12 and West Coast background? Talked about maybe saving scholarships for special teams. The long snapper gets one this year, and in the future, maybe the punter, the kicker, and things like that. Looking forward to working with the walk-ons. Talked about the couple of guys there at the very end in Alston and Snyder that he was recruiting while he was at Oregon State. If you missed any of it, we will repost it up on our Doug and Daddy podcast page momentarily, and stay with us for that. So that's what we've had going on here, and coming up, we've got more from the ESPN Radio Network, and of course, we'll have more on our sports. So right now,